even though we're moving ahead towards Parshas Vayetze, there are a few elements in Parshas told us that I think we should think about, we should emphasize. And I want to begin with the Sfas Emes, Be'inyan HaBrocha Sherotza Levarech Es Esav. The old famous and central question of the parish of the Brachos, why did Yitzchak choose to confer the Brachos on Esav? And the Sfas Emes in Tuf Reish Lamed Zayin, Dibra Maschel Be'inyan HaBrocha, says the following. And I want to thank Laser for showing me this piece. He says, Nira ki bevadai habrocha miuchedes liyakov lo ratza litna leisav. If you read the parasha carefully, then you realize that the original bracha of Birchas Avram, which we'll find bestowed upon Yaakov at the end of Parashas Toldos, before he sent away on his way to Paden Aram, that bracha from the get-go, from the start, was designated for Yaakov. And the Sfas Emes develops the idea, Shehi Abrocha Miuchedes LiYaakov V'Zaro Achrov. That bracha, which Yaakov receives from his father Yitzchak at the end of Parashas Toldos, V'Yitin Lecha Es Birkas Avram, that was a bracha that was designated for Yaakov and his offspring, and that would be the fulfillment of the bris that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mekayim with Yitzchak. And that bris was now being conferred or transferred over to Yaakov. And that bracha was designated for Yaakov from the start. What bracha then are we dealing with when we talk about the question of Yitzchak bestowing it upon Esav? That's the bracha of Olam Hazeh. That's not the bris. That's not the Birchas Avram. What Esav was meant to receive, that Yaakov took it b'mirma, was Olam Hazeh. And Olam Hazeh is a different world. It's called the Alma, the Shikra, and therefore it had to be taken b'mirma. It means that Olam Hazeh is for Esav. Yaakov is designated for something more spiritual. For some reason, this bracha of Olam Hazeh, which is for Esav, Tzarech lavo al yidei Yaakov. It has to come through Yaakov. There's an interesting concept here. The source for Olam Hazeh, which is the physical world, and the beauty of nature and possessions, this has to come through Yaakov's hashpah. The source for the physicality is got to be Yaakov. And therefore, the bracha v'yitein lecha really means, in Yitzchak's mind, thinking that it's Esav, is going to be that Yaakov will give it to you. V'yitein lecha means Yaakov will give you the bracha. Through Yaakov, you, Esav, will receive the bracha. And therefore, Mishmani Aretz is what Esav receives, but V'yitein lecha, that goes back to the original source. That goes back to Yaakov Avinu. And here's the way the Sfas Emes formulates it. He says, Kol HaShefa Tzorech Lered L'Bnei Yisrael. All the benevolence, the Shefa Loki that comes from on high, has to come down to Bnei Yisrael. And that's the way it was, certainly at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when all the nations of the world were Nizonim. They were sustained through the concentrated bracha that came down to Klal Yisrael, to Bnei Yisrael through the Beis HaMikdash. He says, V'yaf al pichein bevadai hoyu harishayim mis'angim v'yolam hazeh yosir v'bnei Yisrael v'afilu gam v'zman HaMikdash chak sh'bnei Yisrael ikar kavanosam his davkusam b'shoresh ha'shefa v'ein mevakshim guf ha'tanugim. He says there's a fundamental difference between that shefa for this world that comes to Bnei Yisrael directly, and the Shefa as it's, in a sense, diffused and passed on to the Umos HaOlam in this world. Bnei Yisrael, they have their primary goal as Dveikus. They want to link up to the Shoresh HaShefa, back to the Ribono Shel Olam, as the source of all this benevolence that comes down. They really aren't interested in the physicalities, in the Guf HaTanugim, as he calls. Whereas the Umas HaOlam, they really don't care about the Shoresh. They don't care about the Dveikus with the Ribbono Shel Olam. They're interested in Tanugos, L'shem Tanugos. That's the end unto itself. And therefore, we view the Umas HaOlam as, in a sense, the spillover that comes through Bnei Yisrael. V'heim nechshovim shirayim l'gabi koach hanesino. V'lachein habrach liYaakov. The brach is given directly to Yaakov, and he's given the koach hanesino. And the Umas HaOlam at Shirayim, relative to the Koach HaNesin of Klal Yisrael, V'yitein Lecha, meaning Yaakov will give you, you'll pick up the Shirayim. Uli Esav, but although the Koach HaNesin, which again, that touches back on a connection to the spiritual source and the divine origin to spirituality, that is the original Koach HaNesin, which is given to Klal Yisrael. That koach hanesina legabe the umas olam is secondary. They're not connected to that. So the bracha of the nesina is given, is designated specifically for Yaakov. Liesav gufa gashmius mishmani aretz ve'ilu haya esav maskil. If only Esav was aware, if he would acknowledge the truth, vayodea ki Yaakov lo chasera mu'uma, that Yaakov is not taking away from him at all. Not ki uzeh. It's like if I take from your candle, I don't in any way diminish your candle. Yaakov's taking any physicality is in no way pogam or machzir, anything to Esav. So therefore there's no reason for Esav to vie against Yaakov. There's no reason for Esav to harbor any anger against Yaakov. Yadarabba, Kshayya Shefal Yude Yaakov, Yia Tov Lelius. It'd be better and better, more beneficial for Esav if the Shefa comes through Yaakov. And that's what Yitzchak said, Mishmani Oretz, Vesachecha Tavod, Klomar, Shalay Chasel Chal Yude Abrocha Shalo. The fact that I bestow a bracha on Yaakov as well in no way detracts or diminishes your bracha. Don't worry. That physicality, that enjoyment, the pleasures of life that you want to be bestowed upon you, that you want to inherit, they will be yours. Don't worry about that. Lios hakol al yideihem. And the Rebbe says that that's the way it is today. It's not just a message from Parshas told us way back when. This is the reality that we live in today. Klal Yisrael is interested in Dveikus. That's primary. As far as their attitude towards Tanugei Olam, that's secondary. There's a certain attitude of Bittul, because their primary concern, their yearning and craving is for Dveikus, to be close to the spiritual source. They also receive from the Shefaloki for Olam Hazeh, and everything else in the world, all other nations, receive it through the conduit of Klal Yisrael. Now, in Parshas Toldos, of the Parsha, the Bracha, we find that this parsha of Toldos could be called the parsha of Yitzchak Avinu. In fact, the pasuk opens up, V'yelu Toldos Yitzchak ben Avram. But when we look at the parshios regarding Yitzchak, we really only find this one parsha that's dedicated to Yitzchak. Yitzchak is not high profile in many parshios. But if we look at the other avos, if we look at Avram Avinu and Yaakov Avinu, and we compare Yitzchak, the contrast is so obvious. It's so profound. Because if you look at the stories of Avram's life, it's basically three parshiyos in the Torah that are dedicated to Avram Avinu. You'll find in the case of Yaakov Avinu, also almost the second half, the entire second half of Sefer Bereishis is dedicated to Yaakov Avinu. When it comes to Yitzchak, who outlived both Avram and Yaakov, because he lived after the Mechir of Yosef, and yet the Torah is very short, very abbreviated, tells us only very minute details about Yitzhak himself. I'd like to call to your attention the opening piece of the Emes LeYaakov, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zichrono Livracha, to Parshas Toldos. He too raises this issue about the low profile of Yitzchak Avinu in terms of Parshios. He also points out that the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Avodas Kochavim has a long, long detailed description of all the activities of Avram Avinu, who travels from city to city, from kingship to kingship. He calls out the name of God. The Rambam is very dramatic. Niskabtzu Elof Alofim Verevavos, the thousands and tens of thousands of disciples of Avram. The Rambam speaks about Yaakov Avinu again, Barichus, how he was sitting as the Rosh Hashiva, he was a Marbitz Torah. V'hoya Hadavar, says the Rambam, Holeichu Mizgaber B'bnei Yaakov V'nilvim Machreim V'nasis Bolam Uma Shehi Yodas Es Hashem. But Yitzchak, the Rambam barely mentions him. He says, V'yoshav Yitzchak Melamed U'mazir The Yitzchak hodi al Yaakov. Again, the main focus of the Rambam is the fact that not Yitzchak himself as an end to himself, but that Yitzchak is a means to an end. He passes on the knowledge to Yaakov Avinu, uminohu melamed, and he sets up Yaakov as the melamed. So once again, if we compare Yitzchak to Avram and Yaakov, we get the impression that that surely Yitzchak is not high profile. You know, if you were writing a journal, you know, you were writing up the various characters in a movie, you know, you're writing a review of a movie, and there were many different actors, and you wrote paragraph after paragraph about A and B, and then you added just one line about C. You know, you really get the impression that C did not play such an important role. And here, when you read the Torah Shemachsav, and the stories that are, the testimonies that are incorporated therein, you get the impression that Yitzchak wasn't very active, and his influence, his impact, compared to the other two Avos, was only because he had his single Talmud, his Yaakov, whereas Avram has an impact internationally, on the entire globe. You talk about Yaakov Avinu, the way the Rambam describes it, his influence, his impact was on the entire world. Many, many Talmidim. Hamidu Talmidim Arbe. But what about Yitzchak? And this should bother us. I mean, the Ramban, if I can add my own point over here, the Ramban emphasizes in Parshas Toldos that each one of the Avos was significant. There was a separate bris that HaKadosh Baruch Hu carries with each one of the Avos. And we daven, we say, okay, Yitzchak. And so much of that philos are related to Yitzchak. But getting back to the Emes LeYaakov, he suggests that if we want to evaluate and understand the hashpa, the impact of the Avos, then we should go back to the Avos themselves and try to get a handle on their derech. Each one of the three Avos has his own derech, his own approach to being mefitz, to spread the word of faith in the world. Each one of the Avos has his specific singular attribute. Avram, of course, is the one who waves the banner of Chesed, the mid of Chesed, Yitzchak the mid of Gvura Din, and Yaakov the mid of Emes. And we certainly have a vision of Avram Avinu as someone who opens his doors for guests. He divides, he separates and shares all of what he has with others. And they, the people who are hosted by Avram, want to thank Avram. And he, Avram, in turn, teaches them and guides them how to thank Hashem. So Chesed becomes the focal point of Avram's style of being Mefitz Emunah, of having this impact. And even though that's true, but we shouldn't understand it on a superficial level. The avoda of Avram in this world was organized in a way of a tremendous hispalus. Hispalus means he gets very enthused. There's a powerful energy, and he has a deep understanding of the impact of his chesed. It's almost endless, his chesed. And he appreciates Avraham Avinu that Hashem created this world with the mid of chesed, and just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashpia chesed, so to Avram, with regard to his relationship with the Brios, he too follows in God's pattern, imitates Hashem with Maisei Chesed, and for the people who receive the benefits of Avram Avinu's kindness, what they're seeing through Avram Avinu, they're getting a glimpse of the Chesed, the kindness of Almighty God Himself, because Avram is in a sense a human duplicate, a replica of the original chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, when the guests come into Avram's Oel, and naturally, intuitively, they want to thank Avram Avinu, and they too are enthused and mispoiled, they're amazed by Avram Avinu's kind nature, his mercy, his compassion, his endless giving. Avraham Avinu at that point, it's the right moment to explain to his people, to the recipients of his chesed, that anything that he does is just simply a service of Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he tells them, God is the foundation and the essence of chesed, and therefore all his service, whatever avodah Avraham Avinu does, must be in that way of chesed. To imitate Hashem, Mahu Rachum Afato Rachum. And therefore, you have to thank Hashem. Your gratitude should be directed towards Hashem, not towards me. This was the approach of Avraham Avinu in Kiruv, to bring people to Avodas Hashem. And there's no question that such a lifestyle, which is founded on chesed and kindness and compassion, is magical. It's absolutely charismatic. Everyone finds such pleasantness in it. Everyone, according to his own nature, is gravitationally pulled to such a derech of chesed. He wants to be part of it. And therefore we understand how many thousands and tens of thousands of people who were his disciples, his admirers, they flocked to him, they gravitated to him. And of course, Avraham Avinu's challenge was Mila, because if he would circumcise himself publicly, that mitzvah of Mila would seem, at the face of it at least, to be antithetical to the midah of Rachmanus. And how much more so in the case of Akedas Yitzchak, what a challenge it was for Avram, who personifies chesed, to overcome that natural love for chesed, and to go through with the Akedah. And not only that, it would seem to project the message to his people, to the disciples of Avram, that Hashem himself is not a Racham V'chanan. He commanded me to slaughter my own son. But let's move over now to Yaakov Avinu. His Avodah was founded upon the Midah of truth. Truth is always Torah. And in his Torah, Titein Emes LeYaakov, it was a search for truth. And even though that doesn't seem as magical and as attractive as the Gemilas Chassadim, that approach of Avraham Avinu, but nevertheless, this also had a gravitational pull for a broader audience, because even someone who is not yet sophisticated, he's not intellectually mature, he knows, he senses the difference between Emes and Sheker, and therefore he gets his palus from Emes, just like you get his palus and you get all excited about Chesed, you get his palus from Emes. When the truth is absolute and pure, any confrontation with such purity, with such truth, is absolutely uplifting. It has a tremendous impact on the person. Therefore, Yaakov Avinu was very successful in having an impact on his environment with many people, who came to learn from him how to serve Hashem. So we have the service of Hashem as it expressed by the Gemara Chasadim in the Midah of Avram. We have the Avodas Hashem as it comes to fruition in the Midah of Yaakov Avinu, of Emes. And that really, in a nutshell, explains why the impact of Avram and Yaakov on the masses was natural, was understandable. But in the case of Yitzchak Avinu, here we have a whole different story. His approach to Avodas Hashem is founded on the Midah of Din, of strict justice, and the purpose of man on this world is to live every level, every stage of his life within this circumscribed rule of will of God, without any deviation whatsoever, to be absolutely committed, unconditionally, to the divine will. And there's no room for compromises. And that kind of action, when it gets publicized, it can only be attractive to those few people who are willing to commit themselves to such a strict discipline, to what we call kaptanut, for self-sacrifice. It's almost like you're denying yourself because of this tremendous discipline of the Midah of Gvur and Din. And therefore, at the Akedah, for example, Yitzchak is ready, and according to Chazal, he went through with Mesiris Nefesh. And not only does he personify Mesiris Nefesh, but Beratzon, with a will, Besimcha, with joy. He wants to fulfill God's will. That's what he's all about. That's his essence, and that's what he believes Avodas Hashem is. So imagine going to the Akedah Beratzon Besimcha. And we now understand very well that such an approach is not popular. You know, Yitzchak's approach would not win the popularity contest. If he was running for office, I don't know, for New York State Senate, maybe he would get 10,000 votes, which is bumpkins, which is nothing. It wasn't a charismatic, or at least on the surface of it, it was not there was no gravitational pull. There were very few people who could join up. And he had only one real exceptional disciple. His outstanding Talmid Muvak was Yaakov, who is the Ish Tam Yoshev of Holim. It was he, Yaakov Avinu, who would continue with the tradition of his father and his grandfather in his, meaning Yaakov's, own personal way. So once again, as we look at the period of time in which the Ovis lived, we certainly get the impression that Yitzchak's impact on his generation was limited. How many people could live up to those standards or be willing to find it comfortable to serve Hashem through Mesiris Nefesh, through absolute commitment, without any compromises? But, says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, if we look at the future of Klal Yisrael, if we view the Avos not in terms of their immediate impact on that generation, we don't know where that impact expressed itself, you know, where through the generations we find it. But let's look at the chosen people, and now let's evaluate the impact of Yitzchak Avinu on the nation of Israel. And in truth, what we'll find is that his hashpah doesn't fall shy of that of Avram and Yaakov. Each one of the Avos injects into the spiritual genetic code of Klal Yisrael for all of posterity, the midah of that particular Av, and Klal Yisrael is therefore a makeup, a composite of those three major midos, those attributes which represent the pillars of Klal Yisrael, the essence of the nature, the simonim of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, if we look from that perspective, we evaluate Yitzchak's impact on Klal Yisrael, the self-sacrifice, the Mesiris Nefesh of Yitzchak, and the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, the impact of Yitzchak, the contribution to Klal Yisrael, and the legacy he left is absolutely amazing. It's something that's immeasurable. The concept of Kiddush Hashem, the hashrasha that's rooted so deep in the nature of a Jew, that from then and for all time, this midah, this ability that was given and injected by Yitzchak Avinu into Klal Yisrael, the power and the ability, the potential, and the courage of Klal Yisrael to give up their lives on Kiddush Hashem throughout the generations. I mean, even a superficial look into Jewish history, and it'll be absolutely obvious that the Jewish people are absolutely amazing in their readiness for self-sacrifice. And again, self-sacrifice obviously in the simple pshuto shel mikra means giving up your life al Kiddush Hashem, and that for sure, but the self-sacrifice really extends to our entire way of life, even on a daily basis. And the way a Jew lives his life is a way of discipline, it's a way of din, and it's really following and imitating Yitzchak Avinu. And now I'd like to discuss with you a little bit more about the brachos and try to address the famous question as to the mirma of Yaakov Avinu, the fact that he takes the brachos, so to speak, steals the brachos from his brother Esav, and to ask a question as to why this had to happen. How did it happen, and why did it have to happen? And one of the issues that comes to fore here is the way that Yaakov goes about stealing the brachos. If we take a look at some of the sources, we find a chidush. It's not the way we understand it. It's not that Yaakov Avinu steals the brachos, lies, cheats, undermines the mid of emes, which is really Yaakov's essence. The story is a lot more complicated. For example, if you take a look at the Ramban in Parshas Vayechi, in Perek Mem Ches, when he speaks about the emes of Yaakov, the Ramban has a very unique shita that the emes of Yaakov, that midah, that attribute, was acquired by Yaakov Avinu later on in his life when he came back to Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz Laretz, he doesn't personify emes. He hasn't yet been lo nisyachid lo midas emes, says the Ramban. And he mentions the following. He speaks about, in order to prove his point, the experience of Yaakov Avinu in Beis Lavan. And that's before Yaakov Avinu returns to Eretz Yisrael, and at that point, Hutzrach lehisnaigim lovan b'derech psaltol v'yenenu derech emes. So Ramban wants to demonstrate that Yaakov Avinu, until he comes back to Eretz Yisrael, does not personify emes, and he chooses the episode, that piece of Yaakov's life, in his, let's call it, confrontation with Lavan, Beveis Lavan, which is Bederech Psaltol. Yaakov has to deal with Lavan on his, Lavan's terms, in his way, V'einenu Derech HaEmes. But notice that he does not, the Ramban does not refer to the parsha, the episode of Yaakov taking the brachos, which would have been, at the face of it, the most obvious proof to support the Ramban's claim that Yaakov Avinu has not yet really been miyached, you know, this mid of emes yet. What I'd like to share with you is an insight of the Michtav Meliyahu, Rav Eliyahu Dessler, in his first chelek, and I heard this from Rabbi Olbaum Shlita. I have trouble emotionally accepting the approach of Rav Dessler, but I do want to share it with you because I think it's really radical. It's very revolutionary. As a background to the insight of Rav Dessler, let's look at the Gemara in Makos on Daf Chaf Dalet towards the end of the Masechta. You remember that the Gemara offers different interpretations of how to reduce the Tayag Mitzvahs to a smaller number of basic principles of primary rules and regulations. And the Gemara says, Bod David v'midon al yud aleph. So there are 11 principles that represent the essence, the quintessence of the Torah itself. And David HaMelech actually dedicates a kapitel in Tehillim to this concept, Mizmar le David Hashem mi yogur bi'olecha mi yishkan b'har kodshecha. David HaMelech in this capital, the 15th chapter of Tehillim, gives us a list of primary attributes or principles. He speaks about holech tamim, poel tzedek, dover emes bilvavo. And the Gemara says, darshaning these various categories, that they refer to different personalities in Tanakh who personify those midos. Holech tamim is Avram, dechsiv is halech lefanei leitamim, poel tzedek, kigon Abba Chilkiah, Dover Emes Bilvavakom Rav Safra. Very fascinating stories about various Amoraim in the Gemara and how great they were. Loragel al Lashono ze Yaakov Avinu. Dechsiv Ulai Yemusheni Avi. That's really fascinating. Yaakov Avinu doesn't want to lie. Ulai Yemusheni Avi. He hesitates. You know, Rivka, from her perspective, wants to send Yaakov in for the bracha, and Yaakov is shying away from it. He doesn't want to take the bracha b'mirma. That's not Yaakov Avinu. And Rashi here in Makos says something which we know from the Targum, but Rashi accepts this Targum. Rashi says, Lo rotzol shaka mitchil shomer ula yim sheni avi, ela imo hichri chaso. His mother, Rivka, was the one who forced him against his will to go in and take the brachos. But Rashi is al pi adibur. The only reason why Yaakov had to fulfill this command is because Rivka had the dibur. She had a nevuah. Dichsiv alai kilascha bini umetagamina. And Rashi invokes the targum alai et amar binevuah tlo yesin lutaya alach bere. I have received the nevuah that there will be no curse that will result from the fact that you go in and take the brachos. It's interesting because in the list in Masechet Megillah Yudalit of the Nevi'im, the Nevi'os specifically, Rivka doesn't appear. The Maariv Chayis is bothered by that because you see clearly that Rivka did receive a nevuah, also Vateilch Lidrosh Hashem at the beginning of the parasha. So we're not exactly clear why Rivka was omitted from that list of Nevi'os, but be that as it may, Yaakov Avinu is going in to fulfill a Nevuah. This is the Tzivri Hashem. And the question arises, can we call that Sheker? From the Gemara, from the perspective of the Gemara of Makkos, you get the impression that's not a Sheker. And let's take a look at the Michtam Aliyoh, in this section, which he entitles Mahu Emes Umahu Sheker, because he admits that superficially, the way we've been taught, we always understood that truth is when we tell a story and all the facts are true. Sheker means when we change the truth and we speak the untruth. We tell stories about details that never actually took place. But we shouldn't understand it at that simple level. Because in truth, after all is said and done, there are many different ways. And yesh harbe ofanim shebehem ein adover keini, says. It's not the way we think it is. Not the way we see it on a superficial level. He says, sometimes it's prohibited to say something. Asur lomar dvarim kimoshehem, even though we're telling the truth. For example, to tell something which is true that will insult a friend, and there's no purpose in doing so, nothing absolutely compelling, in such a case we should change the truth. We should not say truth. If the truth itself will damage someone, will hurt someone, and there's no overriding reason to do so, then what we say, even though it's true in our minds, is really sheker. sheker in the broader sense. Again, we're not looking at it in a very limited sense. If you look at it from a very limited, you know, perspective, you know, dalet al dalet, you know, draw yourself a rectangle, a small square, then enochinami. If you change the truth, then you're lying. But if the concept of truth and sheker is defined by Almighty God and His will, then something which is true, and if you recite, if you tell over that truth, it brings to evil, then although to you it may look like it's MS, it's really sheker. And the converse is also true. Something that looks to be sheker, if its goal is truth, that's not called sheker at all. So MS, in Rav Dessler's definition, and again, I indicated before I have a little bit of trouble with this, is something that brings to good. That's called MS. If it's the fulfillment of the will of God, that's MS. Sheker is, even if it may bring him to success, and it may seem like MS, but it's sheker. Why? Because it's against the will of God. It's the Sitra Achra who's convincing him, well, look, it's MS, and therefore you should say it. So, that's called Sheker. Therefore, a person will not succeed in living a life of truth as long as he's controlled by will, by his personal will for physical pleasure, for evil. He's blinded by the fact that, oh, this is true. I'm going to do what's true. I'm going to speak the truth. But really, what's motivating him is that through that truth, he will achieve something that's negative, something that's ra, that's evil. So he's distorted by calling that truth. He inclines everything based on his desire, and he inclines everything to call it truth, or defining it as either truth or falsehood, by what he aspires to achieve, what his goals are. And that's going to invert and distort the truth. And if someone's desire is for ra, if he wants evil, then even those specific parts and points that he makes that when he speaks sound like they're truth. But let's look at the overall picture, the global picture. Let's not be, as we said before, circumscribed, living within the box. Let's go out of the box. His general purpose and his goal is really sheker. His tachlis is ra. So that even though the words, if you cut them into little pieces and isolate every piece of the puzzle, and it's true that some things that he says are true, but and they reflect the facts on the ground, but it's still called sheker. For him, it's called sheker. Why? Because all these details integrate to form one whole, and all the details are nothing more than means to an end, and that end is evil. And therefore, says Rav Dessler, lo rak dvar heter nechshav larosha lera mitesh kavanosa yikoris hu lera el afilu mashenira b'shaita kimitzvah. He goes very far, and he says that the Russia might decide, oh, it's a mitzvah, because I'm telling the truth. Because everything, again, is in his mind defined by what his heart wants, what his desire and his yearnings is, his ultimate goal. And he quotes Chazal, Leman nidme Esav ha-Rasha, to what can we compare Esav, the evildoer, Velifaz v'Amalek Bonav, and his children, Alifaz and Amalek, Yeravam, Nebuchadnezzar, all the offspring of Esav, Haman Hagogi, who comes from Esav. Li echad shemotza ksus baderech, tofsa biyodo v'chnisa l'tocha ir, v'yamachriz v'yomer, aveda zu shel mi. Rav Dessler offers this mimer here, is as a mushal. He says a person finds he's on his way on the highway, he finds a beged, somebody left behind him, forgotten, lost his garment. So this individual comes into the city, he's grabbing this bargain, he's declaring and screaming, who lost this? So the whole city comes by and they see, look what a tzaddik this guy is, look what a chassid he is. He's found something of value, and he's going out of his way. So they appoint him as a katzin, as somebody who's worthy of being an officer. But after 2-3 years, he destroys the city. And in the Nimshal, those are the Rishoyim, that they present themselves as tzaddikim. Rabosai, even in our time today, we see those who try to defame the state of Israel, and they claim that they are waving the banner of humanity for the Palestinians and for the underdogs and truth and so forth and so on. It's all sheker. And we have to know that these are the offspring of Rishoyim, whose goal is to simply destroy our nation. Therefore, if we take a look at the parsha of Yaakov Avinu taking the brachas from Esav, where Yaakov, through Rivka, gets the word from on high, this is the nevuah of Hashem, Esav is the evildoer, he doesn't deserve these brachas, it'll be a terrible churban if he gets the brachas, you, Yaakov, have to take the brachas. We begin to see that what's going on here is not sheker, but rather emes. You see, again, I'll tell you why I have a problem with this. So I would have said it's sheker in terms of the dibur, but it's sheker shel heter. Right? Meshanim mipnei. The Gemara has in many places above Metzia and elsewhere, that for reasons X, Y, and Z, we are allowed to change the truth. We're even obligated sometimes to change the truth. That's what I would have said. But Rav Dessler chooses to go even further and say that what is good, and therefore it's true. What is bad, and therefore it's sheker. And this approach of Rav Dessler, that we define one's actions and one's speech as emes as sheker, dependent upon the outcome and the ultimate goal, and something which is apparently in its time, in its moment, sheker is really truth, this redefinition is found also in the Sfas Emes, who writes that Yaakov taking the brachas b'mirma hutav b'yene Hashem yisbarach and yesh lilmod mizeh. He says the fact that God wanted Yaakov to do this is a teaching for us. It has a message for all of us. Kidei lahasig emes b'emes rashoyim lasos al yidei arma. We're allowed to do it. And Chazal say avi arim b'yira. Sometimes you have to do something be arma. It seems deceitful. At the face of it, it's a lie and a falsification of the truth. Rashi says, "Aron biyir avi aron biyir laharim bechol mini arma liyir as boro." So says the Sfas Emes that ikar rotzon Hashem shenovel emes eino bechlal sheker. If we're doing something that's the will of God, that's not called sheker. Adar Rabbi Yesh zeu tikun hasheker. This is already a Hasidic concept where you take something and you rectify something negative, and you rectify it by using it for the opposite. You know, you change sheker into emes. That's the way that we fight against the power and the influence of sheker. For example, Chazal say haomer echta v'yashuv emas pikim biyado. Person says, "I will sin and then I'll do tshuva." Why? Because he's using tshuva as a chait. God grants man a wonderful privilege of tshuva. And now man misuses it, and he says, "Well, let me sin, and then I'll do tshuva." He says what he's doing is he's turning tshuva from a mitzvah into an avera, because he's using tshuva as a conduit to reach an avera. Again, define one's actions and one's attitudes by the end result. V'chein lehepech shemarim kidei lovo le'emes. If he changes the truth in order to come to truth, the falsification is for the sake of truth, it would be absolutely false and sheker gamur for Esav the Rasha, who appears and he presents himself as being the emesthika guy to get the brachos. That itself is pure sheker. So you may have to use sheker to achieve emes. That's what Yaakov Avinu is doing. Emes is achieved here, and therefore it's emes. That's how we have to understand Yaakov taking the brachos, the mirma. It's a tikkun on sheker. And this world, the Olam HaZeh, is called the Alma de Shikra. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to convert this Alma de Shikra into an Alma de Emes. That's what man is called upon to do. And sometimes, the only method that's possible is the method of using Sheker itself. The Sheker itself has to be uplifted and converted to Emes. And once again, you know, we spoke at the outset about the fact that Yaakov Avinu doesn't want to take the brachas. He's not interested in taking the brachas. The Medrash Rabbi Pashas told us, says, that B'shosha Omar ki hikra Hashem alokecha lefana. Yitzchak asked him, how did you get here so fast? I just sent you to the fields to bring the game, and you're already feeding me meat. How did it happen? And Yaakov Avinu's response is, hikra Hashem alokecha lefana, the name of God. Esav never mentioned the name of God. Yaakov realized that. Well, what's he doing here, Yaakov? Omar Yitzchak, Yodei ani she'ein Esav maskir shmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'zeh maskir, ein zeh Esav el Yaakov. Yitzchak was smart enough, was clever enough to figure out that this is not Esav. It couldn't be Esav. Kevan she'omar Yitzchak li Yaakov gishona v'amushcha b'ni. And so now Yitzchak is already suspecting who's here. It's not Esav, it's Yaakov. And therefore he tells Yaakov to come closer so I could feel and see if you're Esav. Esav was this hairy guy. Nishpachu mayim al-shukov. Al-shukov, ayalibo rafa kishavav. Hazimel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At that point, Yaakov melted out of fear. He realized that this is the moment of truth, or if you will, the moment of discovery of falsehood. V'zimel HaKadosh Baruch Hu shnei malachim. Beautiful medrash. Hashem said two malachim, echad mimino, echad mismolo. Yaakov was so overwhelmed with fear, he was about to fall onto the ground. So Hashem designated two malachim, one on the right, one on the left. They actually held him up so he shouldn't fall. But it's an amazing thing here. Yaakov really, in a sense, messed up. What's going on here? It doesn't make any sense that he should come into Yitzchak with the name of Hashem, mentioning the name of Hashem. That's a dead giveaway. But the answer is that Yaakov is the midah of Emes. Yaakov doesn't want to do this. It's all being forced upon him. And in a certain sense, he acts out of his own nature without any ability to control his nature. He doesn't want to say Sheker. Yitzchak asked him a question, how did it happen so fast that you're already back with the game, with the food, with the meat? So Yaakov doesn't even have a chance to think this out. He automatically responds with the truth, because he's the Shemes. He's the personification of truth. And the Maratzchayis, on that Gemara in Makos that we pointed out, Chav Dalid, that lo regal al shono kigon Yaakov Avinu deksiv ulay yimusheni avi. He says shamati mechachamecha and hine kvar yadanu depend miyusad bil shonenu hechi sherotze shelo yia hadover hazeh. When a person uses the word pen, what he's really saying is, I'm afraid this might come to be. It might come to pass. And that's why Chazal say he shomer pen v'al eno el losase. It's a negative. So pen means something bad is going to happen, I'm afraid. However, he says ulam, on the other hand, ulai, when you use the word ulai, that it might happen, hunach bil shonenu, hechi sherotze sheyava dovrahu. When a person really in truth desires that it should happen, he uses the word ulai. If he's afraid, chas shalom, it might happen, he says pen. For example, we find by Eliezer in Parshas Chayisar, it says ulai lo tova isha lo leches. And therefore ulai means that maybe she won't accept the invitation to come to marry Yitzchak, and I have a daughter to marry Yitzchak. So there was a deeper element in Eliezer's heart that really desired that she, Rivka, would refuse. Now let's get back to the Parsha of Yaakov Avinu, says the Maratz Chayis. Why does the Gemara identify David HaMelech's description of the personification of Emes as Yaakov Avinu? Here Yaakov is stealing the brachos. V'kan d'lohaya rotza Yaakov, she Yaakir also Aviv, certainly on the surface of it, you would think that Yaakov, the last thing in the world he wants is that Yitzchak should recognize him. So it should have said, "Pen Yemushet, I don't want this to happen. Maybe he'll feel me and he'll see I'm not Esau. Vinemar Ulai, but it says Ulai. Muchach, we said lo rotzel shaker b'emes. So Rav Chaya says it's odd that the Gemara, in order to derive the conclusion that the person who personifies the personality who personifies truth is Yaakov Avinu, and the Gemara quotes a pasuk as a proof text. Ulai Yemushet Yavi. What's the proof over here? But the answer is Ulai. I'm hoping that it won't come to the situation where I have to fool my father, that he himself, Yitzchak, will realize who I am. And that's the Vart Lo Ratzel Shaker Behemes. He really had a Chefetz Shimi Shenu Aviv. The reason why he had to do what he did was because Imo Hechri Chaso Al Pi Adibur Ayin Rashi. Fascinating. But here we want to take a look at the Drusha Saran in the Drusha Sheni. And he says the following. He asks the question of questions. He says, V'achshav od ki kasher berach Yitzchak es Yaakov, kvar berach oso ki mistapek. The Ran is absolutely convinced that Yitzchak did not honestly believe that the person in front of him upon whom he's about to bestow the bracha is Esau. He calls him a mistapek. In other words, Yitzchak was vacillating back and forth. Imu Yaakov Esav. And he brings all the proofs that are obvious. He says, "Kvar ra'inu shehirgish achshash b'yomer ma'zeh mi'harto limtzobri." How did you come so quickly? V'yomer od gishona v'ambushcha. And next he says, "Akol kol Yaakov." So there are three proofs in Yitzchak's mind that this is Yaakov and not Esav. Number one, from the fact that immediately Yaakov brings him food. I mean, it takes time to go out into the fields, find an animal, and hunt it, and prepare it for food. Secondly, the fact that Yitzchak wants to see if it feels like Yaakov. Feels like Esau, feels like. And finally, Akol Kol Yaakov. He certainly identified the voice as that of Yaakov. Voice recognition is a very fundamental detail in recognition. V'ein Sofek Shakol Os Chazak Ve'yadayim. Even if you feel someone's hands, but if you're not seeing him, then that's a lesser, a secondary proof relative to Kol. Certainly Kol is a primary proof. When he calls a Nirish Lohoya Baruch Eitzel Yitzchak Shehoya Esav below Sofek, Avol Bircho Kemistapik, L'mashi Yachshov Kmoshe Efshar. In other words, Yitzchak was really confused. He did not know, he was not convinced in his mind that this bracha that he's about to give is being given to Esav. But nevertheless, Kemistapek, even though he was wavering and vacillating back and forth, unknown to Yitzchak, he was giving the bracha. And the Ran, to explain why Yitzchak goes ahead with the bracha, even though he was mistapek, hey, why not say Sofek Tarais L'Chumra Gilu? You know, is this Yaakov? Is this Esav? Is it not Esav? Maybe it's Yaakov. Do they clarify before you give the bracha? But the answer is that Hashem, Yitzchak relies on Hashem over here. It cannot be that even in the worst case scenario, if this is Yaakov, that this bracha is a hezek. Chashav b'rchasu yela omed. He thought he'd give the bracha to the one who's standing in front of him. Bain Birkov. Gam im ye Yaakov, v'yefsha shetazik li'esav. Yitzchak understood that this whole scenario that was happening, blow by blow, the whole sipur, it would not in any way be a hezek to Esav. Ki efsha sheyizke Yaakov b'tzad birchaso. Because otherwise, would it be possible that Yitzchak would bestow the bracha on someone who might in fact be Yaakov? Which would be the exact opposite of what Yitzchak's intention was. He wanted to give the bracha to Esav. Well, zeh chashav, and therefore Yitzchak came to the conclusion, she'im yeh Yaakov. Even if it's Yaakov, lo yosim Hashem yisbarach b'fiv dover she yuzak bo Esav. Yitzhak wanted to give a bracha, not a hezek teisav, but a bracha teisav. So he knew that God would not allow him, meaning Yitzhak, to do something which is the opposite of what Yitzhak wanted to do. Unless, again, there was a divine plan to the opposite. And finally, in conclusion, and this we'll see an idea that's very similar to that which we learned in the Sfasemis earlier, in the Shem Mishmul, the Sakachava. He says, why was it that Esav was the Bechar? There were two twins in Rivka's stomach. Lama Haisa Kazos. Why was it like this, that Tafka Esav should come for Yad Hashem Tiksa Shia Yaakov Bechar? Wouldn't it have made more sense in the divine plan to organize and arrange it in such a way that Yaakov would be born first? Yaakov has to figure out how to buy the Bechorah from Esav, and he's got to do this Tachbula, this deceitful, in order to steal the Brachos. He's convinced Hashem Yishmuel that when the Pasuk says, Vayikral Esav Beno HaGadol, that Yitzchak calls his older son Esav. And why did the Torah have to add the words Beno HaGadol Me'atzmenu Ayinu Yodim Shu HaGadol? We know that the Torah already told us that Esav was born first. Elabal Hashmiya Taimo Shel Dovar. But rather, the Torah is telling us the reason why Yitzchak wanted to bestow the bracha on Esav. Esav was the Bechar, and the bracha belongs to the Bechar. But if Yaakov had been born first, then certainly Yitzchak would have given Yaakov the bracha. And we wouldn't have needed all these roundabout, complicated ways through Mirma and so forth in order to achieve the goal of Yaakov receiving the brachos. And he says something very, very touching over here. He says, to strengthen his question, and to this day, through this bitter gullus of thousands of years that we suffer at the hands of the descendants of Esav, because Esav cried two tears. So why did this all have to happen? Why did it have to come about because Esav is born first? Couldn't Hashem see to it that Yaakov would be born first? And here, al pi chassidus, the Shem Mishmuel makes a connection, in order to answer this question, between the Nachash HaKadmoni, who's the Orem Mikol Adam, and Esav. And some of the language of the Shem Mishmuel is heavy in Chassidus. We'll try to see certain points that we can get. And to understand the Nachash HaKadmoni, Haya Orem, is that his evil, which is the source of Sheker Ba'olam, and he tries to, and succeeds in convincing Chava in the first case, to eat from the Eitz Hadas. And this sin of the Chet HaKadmoni really is Nimshach HaChardaito Shel Nachash, by being influenced by the Nachash, is Nisgaber Koch HaSheker B'chol Davar Sheba'olam. You know, if we go back to the source, the original sin, we're talking about the Koch of Sheker, the Koch of the Nachash of Sheker, in which he gives a whole story of why they have to eat from the Eitz Hadas. And when they buy into that Sheker, they strengthen the power of Sheker through all generations. And the main service that's imposed and covered upon man is to somehow reduce this power of Sheker, to remove those guises that prevent man from seeing the truth, to open up man's eyes and the eyes of the entire world to see the truth. And yet, despite man's attempts to fix up, to rectify the sin and the midah rav sheker, we haven't yet succeeded. So we see that the sheker that emanates from the original sin is still powerful. And here, using a Hasidic concept, as we indicated earlier, to take dafka that midah, that negative, and use it to destroy sheker. V'ikar nidrashu, he says, lasos min armumumius shorash hasheker atzmo le'emes le'tzorech u'toeles. To try to take the sheker which God created, I mean, it's something that's in the world, and use it l'chvod Hashem. That would be a tikkun on the chet of Adam HaRishon, which, in its wake, brought about a world of sheker. To take that midah of armumius, to be an orim mikol chayas hasodeh, and to use it for the sake of emes, for the toelis of bringing out truth, that itself is a tikkun, he says, on the sheker itself. And even though sheker is very powerful, and it's constantly trying to destroy and undermine truth, Yaakov Avinu is called upon to neutralize that power of Esav, of sheker. And the connection between the Nachash HaKadmoni and his Armumiyut and Esav is based on an early source that when Esav was born, this is fantastical, Nolad im tzuras Nachash HaYurecho. He was born with some sort of tattoo on his thigh. He had the serpent on his thigh. But Yaakov is going to do tachbulos. He's going to take a stance of battle. He's going to go out to champion the cause of truth. And how? By taking the midah of Esav, that very same attribute of armumius, which Esav inherited from the Nochash HaKadmoni, and use it for sanctity, for kedusha. Ba achicha b'mirma v'yikach birchosecha. That's how Yitzhak says the taste of it. It means that your son has come, your brother has come with dafka, with the midah of mirma, and he took it for a bracha, he elevated it. And this Indian of using armumius as the battle, as the weapon against the Nachash HaKadmoni, and to enter and to bring it into kedusha, the only person who could do that is Yaakov. He's the Shemes. He's the one who's so careful to avoid any shemetz, anything that smacks of falsehood. He was completely dedicated l'shem shamayim, without any admixture of his own desires. It was all for the will of God, and therefore was all emes. And therefore, when Rivka tells him to go in and then the sefer way take the brachas, he refuses. And he tells his mother, "Hein Esav, achi ish seir v'anochi ish chalak." He is the personification of sheker. The concept of Esav as an ish seir, according to the Medrash, is based on a pasuk seir v'yirachdu sham, is someone who's involved totally in sheker. But on the other hand, anochi ish chalak, Yaakov Avinu is chalak. He's smooth. He doesn't speak sheker. And yet, to take this person, Yaakov Avinu, who is totally dedicated to truth, refuses to lie if he can get away with it, but to send him through the nevuah that Rivka brings down and put himself really into a danger as far as Kibbud Av is concerned, but to fulfill the bits of this, in this case of Kibbud Aim, he had to be completely naki of sheker in order to reach that level of playing that role of doing the shlichus of converting sheker into emes. That's Yaakov Avinu. That's his job. Ubishvil shayadaki legamre. Hayochel ahachmis atzmo bezeh. V'lo hayashum chashash chas v'sholem shetia necheses po midas hasheker. Because he's 100% emes, there's not even a threat, there's not even a statistical probability of any sort. Zero chance that he, Yaakov Avinu, would be impacted by the influence of sheker, even though he's saying something that's that true. The Asav Itzliach. And Yaakov Avinu did what he did. He was commanded by God through Rivka to do it. He successfully did it. Ubazeh Pasach L'Tikun HaKloli. He opened the window of possibility to rectify the sheker in this world, to Yashva Kol Kedusha, that everything should go back to its sanctity. Umeata, move on, says the Shem Yishmuel. Now we understand that Tzorch Shiyah Esav Bechor. It was absolutely necessary for Esav to be the firstborn, for Yitzchak to have some level of Ava for Esav, until he thought that the bracha has to be bestowed upon Esav. Ad shechoshav Yitzchak levorech oso v'ya sheker misgaber ad morom kitzo. But if that would have happened, then sheker would have been strengthened even more, because, as we said before, the nochash hakadmoni has an impact on Esav. Esav's very essence is that sheker of the nochash hakadmoni that he inherits. But Yaakov v'tachpoloso noso koach, he took that koach of harmumius v'chniso l'kedusha. And if Yaakov had been the bechor, that wouldn't have happened. And we never would have had this rectification. It had to be that this bracha would be taken by Yaakov, Bar Mumius, Bar Kifin, in order to create this tikkun of sheker in the world. And this koach of Yaakov Avinu is handed down by Yerusha to his descendants. Sheyeh bekocham litol es hayetzer hara la'avodas Elokim b'chol levavcha b'shnei yitzrecha. Beautiful. The Shem Yishmuel ends his presentation by pointing to the famous Chazal. V'yahavtas Hashem alkech b'chol levavcha. What's b'chol levavcha b'shnei yitzrecha? A person has to serve Hashem not only with his Yetzer Tov, not only with the Mid of Emes, but even, so to speak, with the Yetzer Hara, the Mid of Sheker, when it's for toelis, for the sake of good, that itself is using the Yetzer Hara for good. That is the ultimate tikkun of, in a sense, freeing that which is impure, that which is sheker, and that which is tamei, that which is antithetical to Kedusha, and find within it, because it is a divine reality, find within it that spark of goodness, to elevate it, and free it of all its tumah, and make it into something tahar, something pure. That's using the Yetzer Hara for good. That's the ultimate goal and responsibility of Knesset Yisrael under the mitzvah of Yahavta. Yaakov Avinu teaches us how to take sheker and use it for MS. And in the light of all that we've seen before, whether it be Rav Dessler, the Sfas Emes, and now the Shem Yishmuel, this is truth. This is the way to be machnis sheker into the Kedusha. May we be zochet to serve Hashem with all Ayitzarim, mitoch Ava, to emulate Yaakov Avinu and all the Avos, all the Imahos, and to bring into this world more and more Kedusha, Kein Yiratzon. Amen.